This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Assuming Mother Nature gives us a breakout in Omaha, we will have baseball this afternoon with NC State taking on Vanderbilt. Wolfpack looking to punch their ticket to next week in the championship series. We'll see how that plays out, Mr. Durham. But we've had so much good luck with Omaha, we decided to go back, haven't we?
Yeah, because we're going to go talk to one of our ACC Network and ESPN College Baseball analysts slash meteorologists. Let's go live to Mike Rooney in the Weather Center here for an update. So what do you think there? We're going to play today? You like our chances?
Yes. Yes, we're going to play today. I'm telling you guys, the grounds crew here, these guys are magicians. I mean, they really are awesome. And so the fact that we played last night was shocking and awesome. And yeah, I'm down. Let's do it.
Well, if anything, I hope we get the afternoon game in. And if we're going to play one, I want the afternoon game, Rooney. That's just my feeling on that.
He's got a personal interest in it, Mike.
For a lot of
personal interest.
For a lot of reasons. Number one, America wants the Whistler removed from their television screens and radio dials. So America's rooting for NC State. See, right? That's correct. And, you know, Elliott Avent's such a great story. Again, no knock on Vandy. Great program. Corbin's incredible. Great players, all that good stuff. But America's ready for NC State to be in the College World Series showdown, best of three.
Yeah, I would say I will echo all those sentiments. No offense to Vandy. I mean, Vandy really is becoming, not becoming, they are a national brand in college baseball right now. And there's a little bit of the Duke basketball thing with Vandy. I think their Whistler, that fan that does all the whistling, certainly doesn't ingratiate Vandy to fans across the country. But, you know, I think Vandy's, you know, with Rocker and Leiter, really they've had an amazing year in a lot of ways. The position player group for Vandy is very young. They really haven't played that great since they've been out here. They've just won games in advance. I think that speaks to their pedigree. Mm. But if you give me an NC State, Mississippi State finals, two teams, two programs that have not won a national championship, I think that would be electric. And I just think, guys, it's hilarious. There's a better word for it, but I'll go with hilarious, that NC State is now going to face Kumar Rocker after having faced – so NC State, there's three Golden Spikes finalists. And for people that don't know, that's our Heisman Trophy in college baseball. And after today, NC State will have faced all three of them, which is, you know, if they're going to win the national championship, it is going to be one of the most difficult roads to that title we've ever seen.
Coach, before we dive into this afternoon, let's, if we can, kind of write the epilogue here to Virginia. An amazing turnaround in midseason. They and the Wolfpack share that common trait. But, boy, did Brian O'Connor do just a sensational job of going step by step here. When you could have taken big leaps and, you know, folded up, gone through the motions, they elected to play on. And along the way, endeared themselves to not only Virginia fans, but I think a lot of college baseball fans with the way their season turned out.
Yeah, I would say, Wes, I'm 100% on board with you there. You know, Brian O'Connor, clearly a Hall of Fame career. But you think about it, okay, you know, they build this program into a national power. Omaha, 09, 11, 14, win the whole thing in 15. Guys, it's been a downtrend since then. You know, think about it. No NC tournament in 2018. No NC tournament in 2019. That starts to get a little spooky. Last year in 2020, they were better. It's like, okay, Virginia's on the way back. And then this year, you lose those first five ACC series, and you're starting to think, oh, dang, maybe we're not back. You know, maybe the formula's broken. What's going on here? And those kids just fought and got themselves right to get back. You know, I wouldn't say they came storming into regionals, but, you know, certainly got a lot more comfortable. And then to have to win six elimination games, and they have literally played their best baseball of the year in Omaha. And, you know, certainly that game against Mississippi State could have gone, a totally different direction. But I'm with you guys. I think it's one of the best coaching jobs we saw in the country this year. You know, I think of Brian O'Connor's five trips to Omaha. This is one that will be very special to him. yeah, it's just remarkable for where they started the season or how it began to where they are today. Just remarkable.
All right, Mike, I'm going to ask you a crazy question here.
Let's go.
All right, here we go. I'm going to include every player on every team that got an invitation to the tournament. All right, all 64. Would you agree or disagree that Griff McGarry helped himself out more than any player on any team in the tournament on this run, as far as his future?
Wow. Yes. Yeah, the answer is yes. I mean, Griff McGarry made a lot of money in the CNC tournament. You know, it's like, it's funny. I saw a scouting cross-checker walking into the stadium the other day, and, you know, I said, hey, what do you think about this July 11th draft? Like, what's that looking like? He said, well, first of all, I'm getting to come to the College World Series for the first time ever. Usually I'm in a draft room, so this is awesome. And he said, second of all, like, we've never had an opportunity for a Griff McGarry to happen before because the draft has already come and gone. So, you know, he just said, hey, it's awesome. Hey, but if we want to stay on the Jeopardy category of Virginia players making money in the draft late here, I'll also nominate Mike Vassell, whose draft stock had dropped a little bit. And boy, he was tremendous last night. And then, you know, Nick Kent, I mean, his draft stock had also plummeted a little bit because the offense had fallen off this year. But the defense he has played in this thing has been incredible. So, but yeah, the answer is Griff McGarry. Good for him. I mean, he had almost become undraftable potentially, and now, God, I don't. He could. Somebody could take a real flyer on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that, and you would know better than us. He's one of those guys that a year or two in the right franchise development side in the minors could move up the chart pretty quick, right?
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's about getting outs for sure. But one thing Griff McGarry has is his two pitches. He can throw them in the strike zone and still miss bats. You know, most guys have to leave the strike zone to get you to swing and miss. Griff McGarry's not that. Griff McGarry can throw it right in the strike zone, and the stuff is so ferocious that he can still miss your bat. And so, you know, it just, we all know what the problem for Griff McGarry's always been. It's just been, you know, confidence and strike throwing, and good for him. Hey, I'll tell you guys this, putting my coaching hat on, good for the Virginia coaching staff, because it is so easy to give up on a kid like that. You know, not give up on him like you treat him poorly or, you know, you quit throwing bullpens with him. But putting that kid back in a game where all those games matter, that's hard to do. I mean, he's walking more than one an inning. So good on those guys for sticking with that kid and continuing to work with him and continuing to believe in him too.
You mentioned pitchers that can throw it, and all of a sudden you just can't hit it. NC State, who you mentioned, they have seen the best of the best here on this incredible run. Mr. Rocker is going to introduce the Wolfpack this afternoon at 2. We just had Dan McDonald on. If you're NC State, Mike, what's the approach this afternoon against Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I'll tell you guys what my approach would be, and then I'll try to describe what I think NC State will do. You know, the formula against Kamar Rocker is there's kind of two parts to it. One is he does spray his fastball around a little bit. Vandy's bullpen is it's fine. It's not great. You know, so you'd rather be facing their bullpen than him. So to me, the formula to beat him is some guys in your lineup have to take a bunch of pitches, try to run his pitch count up and draw some walks. And then other guys in your lineup that are capable of doing it, you need to get their best swing off as often as possible and run into a fastball and run a ball out of here. That when Georgia beat Rocker earlier in the year, it was walks and home runs, walks and home runs. That's what you're hoping for. I don't think that's what NC State's going to do. That's not their jam. That's not how Elliott coaches offense. I think NC State's going to be very aggressive throughout the game. And they're going to try to run into balls and try and sneak some balls out of here. But I do think if you're going to take an uber aggressive approach 1 through 9, the key is to stay off the breaking ball out of the zone. That is Kumar Rocker's trump card, is that slider that runs out of the strike zone. It's really, you could argue it's the best breaking ball in college baseball. So if you're NC State, you cannot chase that pitch out of the zone all day.
And, Mike, the other night against Arizona, he did not have the slider early, correct? That was the hook in his game. The slider wasn't there. And then when he found the grip on it, He sat 15 down in a row, I think, at one point. The idea being the fastball's the constant and the slider is the one that's got an attitude. Is that right?
For sure. Yeah, for whatever reason, it was almost like Vandy outthought themselves a little bit the other night. He was throwing a lot of changeups in the first part of that game. And yeah, you're right. The slider was kind of invisible. And, you know, he also had a tough start against Alabama. And, you know, if you look at that start, he just lost the feel for that slider for a little bit. So that is the key pitch. If you see Kumar Rocker getting a bunch of swing and miss on that slider, that's not going to be good for NC State. But I would say if you see them taking the slider, they're seeing it good, that's what you're looking for. How do they react to that pitch? Because there's in Rocker starts, there's been a little bit of momentum to it where you start chasing the slider, you start panicking, and then you start swinging even more wildly. That's the key pitch, is what kind of command does he have of it, and how well is NC State seeing that pitch?
Mike, there's obviously the aura of Vanderbilt's 1-2 combination, but are we now getting to the point now that, hey, it's NC State, the unseeded team, that's got the aura? I mean, because they shocked the baseball world by eliminating number one Arkansas in Fayetteville, and they've come rolling into Omaha, looked at Mr. Beck at Stanford, they beat him up, saw Leiter, hey, that's cool, that's an L. Is there not an aura now being formed by this NC State team that doesn't have a number beside their name?
I would say NC State's been the hottest team in the tournament. You know, and I would say there is a little bit of – it is a little intimidating playing NC State because of what Evan Justice is doing at the end of games. And I would even throw Chris Villeman in there, what he did at the end of the game in Arkansas. If you're – you know, first of all, NC State's position player group has such elite athleticism – and their athleticism shows up on both sides of the baseball. They play tremendous defense. They've shown that in Omaha. And their offense, they can run. They can beat you with power. And so that lineup is really difficult to tangle with. And on top of it, if you let that group give Villeman and Justice a lead into the, let's call it the sixth inning, and those two kids just have to go get 12 outs, you know, I think if you're Tim Corbin and Vandy, you're very focused on, hey, we need to have a lead in the first part of this game or this is going to be a problem. So I do think, guys, especially from a coaching standpoint, NC State is a little spooky to play right now, because if you get on the wrong side of the game early, you're not feeling good about your chances.
And the curious part about the Wolfpack too, Mike, and yeah, I know not everybody's got 10 or more home runs, but NC State seemingly got a little pocket power just about 1 through 9 in the order. There's not a walk along. If you make a mistake, there's a chance it's going out of the ballpark to these guys.
Yeah, with the exception of JT Jarrett, I think you're right. Everybody can run one out of here. And you know, truthfully, against a Kumar Rocker, he's a veteran star, right? He's not going to just lose it for an entire start. He may lose it for a stretch. And you better cash in when he does that. But he's not. He's going to recover. You know, he's just. It's everything, right? It's experience, poise, talent. Not afraid of this big stage. He's thrived on this big stage. So I do think that's an advantage. That whatever point in the game that Kumar Rocker gets vulnerable, it really doesn't matter what part of the lineup that NC State's got rolling at that point. They're all dangerous. But I would say those first three hitters, you know, Muir and McDonough and Butler, they really have done most of the damage.
Can't wait. Well, listen, I'm going to take your word that we're going to have baseball this afternoon. I'm running with Rooney. That's what I'm going to do.
We're going to make it happen. It's attitude. Let's go.
I like it. Like everything about it.
Mike Rooney's AccuWeather forecast says we're playing ball, Pack.
I'm in.
Let's go.
There you go.
Hey, Mike, thanks as always. Appreciate it. Hope we can visit next week maybe, huh?
Let's do it. I'm knocking on wood right now.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We're not done. Paige Madden's coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, and we knew her when. She's at the University of Virginia now. She's an Olympian. And we'll have some fun with Paige. She's great. We've always had a good time with Paige when she's been on the show. But she'll be sporting the red, white, and blue for America And NC State will be playing for America today, trying to eliminate the Whistler and Vanderbilt at 2 o'clock Eastern time. And it's like the Giants. Like anybody who plays the Dodgers becomes America. I just had a text exchange with Dan Dockich, and he's all excited because his Cubbies no hit the Dodgers last night. And he said, America's team. I said, only this weekend are you America's team, because they're taking on those boys there out there in L.A. But Boo Corrigan runs the show for NC State, which is becoming America's team in college baseball. And hopefully that's proven again this afternoon.
And we started our visit yesterday with the NC State Athletics Director, asking him about your first experience in Omaha.
I always wanted to have a rooting interest, right? I didn't want to go there, you know, just to see the event. I was hopeful sometime in my career that we'd be able to go. Obviously went this year, and it's just about baseball. And that was kind of the beauty of everything, is you get there and it's, what time do you play? And tell me about your team. And then you leave. And, you know, we won the first game, went out to dinner, and all anyone wanted to talk about was baseball. And then what was going on in the game after ours. And then all day Sunday, it was the same type of thing. And then Monday, of course, we go out there and play an unbelievably exciting, thrilling 1-0 game.
Boo, here's the other thing. It also bonds the Wolfpack Nation in a lot of ways. I mean, the support that the baseball program gets, it as the athletics director, to see your women's basketball coach out there, to know your greatest basketball player is out there, to know that, you know, the generations of NC State fans are rallying to this team of 9 from 9, as Elliot says, 9 players, 9 states. It's got to do something for the athletic director to say, okay, yeah, now we are kind of in this thing together in a whole lot of ways.
But it certainly it does, but it does to everyone in Wolfpack Nation, right? You know, we're taking pride in who we are, and taking pride in celebrating David Thompson and Derek Wittenberg and Wes Moore and Dave Doran doing all he can to get out there, and Kevin Keats texting me and calling me, and Braden Holloway was there, and the passion is there. We know that. We just got to focus on being the best NC State we can be, and boy, that's going to be something when we do.
Well, it's taking place as we speak. You know, the other thing that's cool, and I've always found in Omaha, is that the city, which does an incredible job welcoming everybody, but they will eventually pick, the locals will eventually jump on somebody as their team. They embrace everybody. But as this thing develops, well, there's always one team that they kind of say, hey, you know what? You're our team. And I get a sense on the phone calls that I've been getting in the afternoon show that NC State has been the one that Omaha has embraced. Did you get that sense when you were out there?
We did a couple different ways. One, by beating Arkansas, you know, who had beaten Nebraska. I think that played into a little bit. Plus, you know, I mean, red and white's red and white, brother. You know, I mean, they don't need to change any uniform. They don't need to do anything else. You know, all they need to do is learn the hand signal. We're good to go.
That's it. And it's not Texas. Let me understand. It's not Texas. It's the Wolfpack, right? There's a big difference there. Big difference.
Yes, sir.
Hey, and here's the other thing, too. The Nebraska people are not going to pull for Texas. They're not pulling for Texas.
Ever.
Vanderbilt's won out there. Virginia's won out there. They're looking for somebody who's, you know, like Fresno State a handful of years ago, Pac. They're looking for the dynasty, the destiny team, the one that's had the upsets, things like that. That's the great part of your team in many ways, Boo. And I guess what Elliot Avent means to this program in some ways, the way he's handled all of this.
It really is, and you look at all the different heroes we've had, right, throughout this. Jose Torres hitting the home run in the top of the ninth. Evan Justice comes in and shuts it down. Sam Heifeld goes up against, top three pitcher, whatever it is in the next coming draft, and you look at the scoreboard at one point, and Sam's got no runs and 2 hits. We have one run and three hits. And it seems like the story was still about the Vanderbilt pitcher. And they just keep plugging away, and Elliott's done a great job bringing them together this year. And y'all know, I mean, Elliott lost his daddy earlier this year, as he would call him, and he's been through a lot. But, you know, we found a way to come together after a tough start. And, boy, is it great to finish strong.
We kidded around last hour, Boo, for folks that stayed up and watched last night's game, because I'm sure State fans were, because, hey, you get the winner. Here's Stanford winning all night long. They go to their ace to try to close this thing out. And really, at some point in time, with two outs and two strikes in the bottom of the ninth, you're thinking, as an NC State fan, I couldn't have scripted a better case scenario. Stanford's used their ace. Vanderbilt's gone. I don't have to deal with Rocker or Leiter if that's the case. And Vandy comes back. We've seen unbelievable games and comebacks. And now NC State's got to deal with Vanderbilt again. But you know what? Given who you've gone through already, what you did at Arkansas, what you did at Ruston to beat a Louisiana Tech team in that place and had to sweep them to get to Arkansas and do something nobody else has done all year against those guys, to go ahead and beat Beck. You've beaten Leiter. Okay, we got to play Rocker. That's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. This team has been on a remarkable run. And tomorrow afternoon, I know everybody's going to be dialed in and ready to roll. And if you got to go beat them twice, hey, if you got to beat them again, so be it. Line them up. Let's go. You know, winning a national championship's never been easy. I don't care what the sport is. But this run that we're watching with Elliott and his guys has been unbelievable, especially given the start.
It really has. But, you know, Pat, they got to beat us, right? I mean, at some point, we are the one that's 2-0.
That's right.
Right now, we are the one that beat the SEC Pitcher of the Year, Pac-12 Pitcher of the Year, and Leiter, who's a consensus top three, top five pick in the Major League Draft. Yep. And we are that team, and we are the team that comes together, and we got a first baseman from Minnesota, a center fielder from Ohio, you know, a catcher from Florida, you know, starting two freshman pitchers. I mean, this is a group that's stronger as one, right? You know, nine being one. And it's really a tribute to Elliott, but also to Chris Hart and Clint and the job they've done with the pitching staff, with the players, with recruiting, with everything involved in what it is. It's just a really, really exciting time for the Wolfpack.
Where are you with season tickets for football?
We are over 103% based on 2019 numbers. Wow. So the pack is ready, baby. Wow. We're ready to come back.
Boo Corgan.
There you go. Fired full update up from Boo Corgan.
Yeah, man at the top. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be, right?
Leader of the pack.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
A lot of baseball. We got NC State, Vanderbilt that this too afternoon. But this is a feel-good story coming up next because, Wes, we knew our next guest when she was at the University of Virginia and she was winning ACC championships and NCAA titles and she won so much stuff. She would prop the phone up with all her medals so she could talk to us. And now look what's happened to our next guest. Look what she did now.
She's done up and gone to Tokyo. Not just yet, though. Paige Madden joins us this morning. First of all, Paige, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show. And congratulations on qualifying for the United States Olympic team. Just a marvelous accomplishment. And, God, what's it been like in the last week or so? It's just been, got to believe, overwhelming at times, right?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me, and thank you. Yeah, I've been really overwhelmed. There's been, like, so many people reaching out to me, I can't even respond to everybody. But it's been great. It's been really good. It makes my heart warm just to see, you know, people from back home reaching out to me that I haven't talked to in a while, and just, you know, the support from the UVA community and just the Charlottesville area has been great. And yeah, I'm really excited.
So the red, white, and blue, I mean, does it get any better than that, representing the country?
I don't know. I can't think of anything, you know, past that. So that's a good question, but I don't know.
I'm going to follow up with that, though. Well, I'm going to follow up with that. I tell you what's got to be as cool is the fact that you've also got some fellow UVAers joining you, right? I mean, it's really an incredible trip to Omaha for a lot of Virginia swimmers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you have Kate Douglas, Alex Walsh. We have a girl who's been swimming professionally with us, Kay DeLuth. And then, I'm really excited about that. We have a good group going. Todd, our head coach, is also going with us. So we have a pretty solid group going. I think there's something like Virginia women is making up 20% of the Olympic team on the women's side. I think that's pretty cool, and I'm just excited to be part of that.
Very cool, is right.
So Paige, what's the whole experience of being in the pool and you know you're swimming for a chance at the Olympics? I mean, going to the Olympics is a whole nother level, but being in the pool and knowing you've got a chance to get to the Olympics, is that different than anything that you've ever been through before?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's so nerve-wracking. I think people keep telling me Olympic trials are way more stressful than the Olympics themselves, just because everybody is fighting for a spot on the Olympic team. And you're, you know, in this big arena and there's this jumbotron, you feel like it's going to fall on top of you. And it's different than any other swim meet, you know, you've ever been to. But at the same time, it's all like really, really cool. I don't think anything compares to it.
Paige, this could be a goofy, I like to ask goofy offbeat questions. What are the perks? What kind of perks do we get being on the U.S. Olympic team? Do you know what's coming? Like, there's got to be unbelievably cool packages that are going to be delivered here in the next couple weeks. Do you know what's coming? And what do you get?
As you can see, they gave us a bunch of gear. They gave us like two suitcases worth of this, just took us to this warehouse and we tried everything on and gave us that. And I think we're getting another two suitcases once we get to training camp. And that's another thing. We get to go to training camp in Hawaii. So that's pretty cool. That's a pretty big perk.
Yeah, you threw that one in at the end, like, oh, these guys are going to be impressed. Kind of, I got more Speedos and goggles. Yeah. And oh, by the way, the trip to Hawaii. I noticed how you did that. That was sneaky. Love it.
So that was actually going to be my next question. You're basically going to swim with your competitors from the Olympic trials in some of these relays. They're now your teammates. How much chemistry, how much kind of practice and continuity do you have to develop in some of the relay events you'll be trying to qualify for too?
Yeah, I think, you know, I already got to come, like we get to rise out of the ground when they announce like the relay. It's pretty cool. But Allison Schmidt, who is a veteran, she was talking to the four of us. She's like, you know, our relay is going to be great. I'm really excited about that. And, you know, this is my first time going to the Olympics, so I've never like experienced what it's like to build that team chemistry, because, you know, those have been my competitors over the last 4 years, but it'll be different. And I think the veterans will kind of take the reins and building the team chemistry in that. And, you know, we'll elect team captains and have like group bonding and everything. So I'm really excited for it. It should be interesting.
Have you ever been to Tokyo?
I've never been there. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
How about, have you ever been out of the country?
Yes. I actually went to World University Games in Italy, and I think I've been on vacation a couple places, but nowhere as exotic as Tokyo.
All right, now, I want to follow up on that. Hold on a second, I want to follow up on this a second. And this is very important, Paige. A couple of weeks ago, I went to Turks and Caicos and had a really terrible experience in the ocean. I'm scared to death of the ocean. And I had to swim about 20 yards in the ocean, and I'm scared to death of the ocean. The current was awful. I'm not a great swimmer, even though I was not bad when I was a kid, but I don't like to swim. The difference between swimming in the ocean versus the pool, and how often do you swim in the ocean?
There's a huge difference. you know, even we have some open water swimmers, and the way that they train for that is so different. You know, you have to keep your head up to sight and see what's around you, versus like in pool swimming, you want to keep your head in line with the rest of your body. But yeah, I actually swam in, well, I guess you could call it the ocean, but I swam in Mobile Bay a couple times during quarantine because I didn't have access to a pool. And that's like muddy waters. You can't see anything in front of you. So that was pretty interesting. I also get freaked out by the sea creatures. I think one time I was in the ocean and actually saw a stingray and had to run back to shore. But I'm much more comfortable in the pool than I am in the ocean, for sure.
Paige, you just went even further up my favorite list with that answer right there. Because all that does is confirm what I've been saying for nearly 20 years on radio, and that is the second your big toe hits the water, you're the visiting team. That's the deal in the ocean, right? That's the deal.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep. I like to know what's in the water, and I only like to be in the water with other human beings. I don't like all the little creatures.
I'm with you. I like the way you think. Yeah, really. University of Virginia, incredibly intelligent, Wes. Just confirms everything I ever thought.
Right no there. Doubt. Hey, Paige, my question's a little more simplistic. Pac mentioned, you know, last time you were with us, you were balancing the phone on the medals. How many medals you think in Tokyo it'll take to create the new balance for the phone?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Honestly, I think, you know, they're probably pretty big medals, you know? I only have an opportunity to get two. So if I could get two, that would be
maybe two.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, two. Let's go with two. Let's see if we can balance the phone with two medals. What do you think?
Yeah.
By the way, what is the schedule though for you between now and Hawaii? Yeah. How far apart is that? I know we've got to be on a kind of a crazy schedule. So what's it look like coming down the stretch here?
Yeah, so I leave for Hawaii on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So, not much, except I'm moving out of my apartment. As you can see, my shelves are empty back there. But yeah, there's, I got to submit all my COVID tests and everything to get, it's pretty hard to get to Hawaii just in terms of COVID protocols. But right now I'm just trying to get everything done before then.
Man, it's a great story. We are proud of you. I'm telling you, we knew you back when you were just, you know, a student there at the University of Virginia, rocking and rolling, and now you turn into a rock star. Absolutely cool.
Thank you. I don't know if I would call myself a rock star, but I appreciate that.
And let me tell you something. Anybody that rises from the ground to get back up like that is a rock star, Paige. That's the deal.
Yeah, you know, that was pretty cool. That was like a cool... It was scary, but it was a cool experience.
Hey, Paige, safe travels. Work. We look forward to following you in Tokyo, okay? And it's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much. Go USA.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I've come to realize something on a Friday. Come to realize something here. You just got an Olympian to agree with you on your theory about swimming in the ocean, didn't you?
Yes, absolutely right. That is...
You did.
I've always been a big fan of Paige Madden, and she just confirmed exactly what I thought from day one. And she proved it.
Right.
Proved it. Don't take my word for it.
Yeah.
USA, baby. Pretty impressive, though, about the number of swimmers from University of Virginia representing that women's swim team, huh? That's strong.
Whew,
that is impressive.
I'll tell you what. Thanks to Caroline Darney, Dan McDonald, Mike Rooney, Paige Madden, all for being a part of the show today.
Excellent.
2:00 this afternoon, friends, is NC State Vanderbilt. And Tom Hart, Chris Burke, and Ben McDonald will be on the call from Omaha today. And then, weather permitting, tonight will be Mississippi State and Texas. Also from TD Ameritrade out in Omaha. If NC State wins, we'll advance this Monday, opening game of the championship series. If they don't win, they will play again tomorrow afternoon. But nonetheless, that's where things are. So, hopefully it works out for the Wolfpack and they can have Saturday and Sunday off, Pack.
Hopefully it works out for all of us in the ACC. Everybody's rooting for them. Yep. Not only is the ACC,
absolutely,
there's people in the SEC rooting against Vanderbilt because that Whistler. I even had some SEC fans call me yesterday and say, I am sick of that idiot. Man, get rid of him. I'm like, hey, what do you want me to do about it? I got nothing to do with it. Just glad I'm not sitting near him.
Need is bad. That'd be bad if you were at the ballpark.
That was the topic of yesterday's off-campus. That was our goofball question, is what has been your most annoying experience at a college sporting event? And the answers yesterday were awesome. I mean, incredible stories from around the country. But, I wouldn't want to sit near that idiot. Seriously. I mean, he'd be like, hey, dude, I mean, we got it. You can root for your team. I got no problem. But enough. Just sit down.
Yeah.
Find some peanut butter.
We touched on this earlier. Keve Aluma announced yesterday he'll be coming back to Blacksburg to play for Mike Young and the Hokies this upcoming basketball season. So Raekwon Evans, who's a guard, announced he would be returning to Florida State. 2 days ago, Armando Bacot announced he was returning to Carolina for his junior campaign. And now Keve Aluma comes back. Who's a bigger piece in the ACC basketball order? Armando Bacot, Keve Aluma, Mark?
Ooh, that's a good question. First of all, the easy answer is all the above, especially in this day and age where everybody has left the building. That's why I keep telling you about a month and a half ago, hey, wake me in October when the rosters come out so I'll figure out who's back on the team. This was really big news yesterday for Virginia Tech and for the league. I'm not sure how you break the tie because they're both critical for the success for not only Coach Young but also Hubert Davis making his debut at North Carolina. To have the big guy inside in the production and the experience, and especially in this day and age of the transfer portal, I cannot emphasize enough how important that is. And you mentioned Leonard Hamilton.
Yeah.
I expect Leonard to have dudes. I mean, he's just kind of reloaded. Anytime they lose a bunch of guys in the NBA, guess what? The next wave have been really, really good. So I think Florida State's going to be fine. But for North Carolina and Virginia Tech specifically, I'm not sure how you break that tie. The answer to the question is that was a huge announcement for all the parties this week that those guys are coming back. Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on remember now the NBA Draft Combine. You can see coverage over on ESPN and ESPN2 of that event. You'll see some ACC players. Now, most of the guys who've been invited to the Draft Combine will stay in. Some who haven't been invited to the Draft Combine, who declared, have the option to come back to school. That's the case with Jose Alvarado at Georgia Tech. Remember, Michael DeVoe of Georgia Tech's already announced he's coming back. And to Mark, your point about 2 weeks ago, it's going to be interesting with basketball. How do we go about sorting through a preseason all-ACC team?
You don't. You can't.
Guys coming back, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be really difficult. I mean, you're going to start looking at guys that played maybe midline roles for their teams. Aluma and Bacot would be different stories. You got some other players, too, who would be coming back. But it's going to be interesting.
I think one thing we should do next week as we get closer to this NBA thing is look at the number of ACC players that you think are going to be drafted in the first round of this upcoming NBA draft versus what the league has produced in the last 10 years. I would be, without even looking the numbers up, just talking off the top of my head, I think we will be stunned at the number of what is drafted in the first round this year versus the last 10 years of ACC basketball. And keep in mind, I'm going to just say one more thing. Keep in mind, we're coming off a year in which for the first time since Dirt, no ACC player was first team All-America, second team All-America, or third team. I'm just saying. That's why the announcement this week of those three players going to Florida State, North Carolina, Virginia Tech returning is such an important announcement. We should do that next week.
Okay. Can we do that maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday? Because Monday I won't be here.
Where are you going?
I'm going to be at David Pollack's charity golf event in Statham, Georgia, supporting our fellow ESPN colleagues. Pack.
Any oil companies this time, or are we doing something different? Right, we're just hanging with celebrities.
No, this is Pollack.
We're just hanging with celebrities.
It's Pollack. We'll have some other ESPN college football people will be there. Yeah. We'll have a good time. All right, we'll be thinking of you.
So you're going again. All right. So do we have any idea who's filling in Monday?
Chris Cotter will be here on Monday.
It can't be Paige Madden. She's Cotter. In Hawaii. And it can't be Caroline Darney because she's going to probably fly American Airlines, and it'll take her 4 days to get back from Omaha on American.
There you go. Chris Cotter will be here on Monday.
All right. Hey, whoever shows up, it doesn't matter to me. Whoever shows up, we'll have a good time.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.